This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. The fall veto session wrapped up yesterday, and I would love to say that State Representative Dan Swanson gets a whole 2 months off, but I don't really think that's the case, is it?
No, not at all. And that's it's a pleasure to be back out in the district as often as I am to meet with people and to get to all those pancake breakfasts and fish fries and all those nice community events.
Yeah, there's a pancake breakfast tomorrow morning I can recommend to you, by the way, for the snowmobile search and rescue team.
It's on my list. I'll be there.
Good. Well, thanks for coming in, though, tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Will.
I would say I could start by sarcastically asking if anything got done, but it does really sound like over the last couple of weeks, maybe this last week more than the first week, that maybe some things of substance maybe did get considered.
Right. If you recall back, we went back to session the 28th of October. We were there 28, 29, 30 October. And the day we walked in the halls of Springfield was the day that we found out that former Representative Arroyo had just been released after being arrested for corruption charges.
And that resulted in it doesn't sound like everything that your party was asking for in terms of ethics reforms got passed, but at least there was a start, right?
Right. There was one step forward. Maybe a couple steps back with the final look at it. But I think in the past spring session and coming down here to veto session, we had over 30 pieces of legislation that we'd proposed to clean up some of the ethics. You know, right now, those of us in office are getting a bad rap because of those who are corrupt. We saw two people in the Senate who have been indicted or found to have some corruption charges, and now we've got one over in the House, and it's time we clean up our act.
What did get passed in terms of ethics reform here?
What got passed was, as most people, even if you're a volunteer for a park district, you have to fill out that economic interest form. Mm-hmm. Some wording got changed on that. And a second piece of legislation that was passed was putting together a task force to review the ethics and look at some of the happenings that have taken place in Springfield.
I'm going to sound like a first-class whiner here, but gosh, how many task forces do we need on just everything? It seems to me that they're almost becoming blockades to actually getting anything done on any of a number of issues, let alone ethics reform.
Right, absolutely. And it was pointed out on the House floor how many different commissions have actually looked at the ethics part of it, especially after Blagojevich and others, and that has done nothing but collect dust on the shelves of somebody's office in Springfield, and we're concerned that that's going to happen again, and it's time that we fix it.
I kind of got the impression, and we talked about this earlier in the week in the program and aired some of the Blue Room audio that came up from a press conference from Republicans urging that this package get passed this week. My worry at the time was that, one, that not everything would get done, which sounds like was the case, but two, that if there's a way to water down a piece of legislation, somebody in Springfield will find it. And it sounds like that may have been what happened here, unfortunately.
Right. The concern was the five or six pieces of legislation we introduced the 28th of October. We were going to rush into a decision on that legislation, but as it turns out, the piece of legislation that was passed, it was dropped or actually introduced at midnight on Wednesday night, and then brought up for vote on Thursday. So
yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, that hasn't been done before either, which I don't think does anybody any favors either.
No, and when we met in caucus, it was just, like you said, so watered down. What we expected to see going on the House floor after caucus was even more watered down than what we discussed in caucus. So some gamesmanship going on all the time there.
Do we expect some of this to come back up in January then when you return?
We certainly hope so. That's what we're going to be doing now is between now and the 28th of January, we go back to session, is continue to say that we need to have ethics reforms in the Capitol.
One of the things that did get passed was some moves that would consolidate police and fire pensions, but you and, among others, Representative Hammond and others did not approve of it. It was a measure that, among others, Mayor Pritchard here in Galesburg widely supported. Talk about the measure and then talk about why you voted against it.
Well, Noreen and I talked beforehand about our skepticism about that piece of legislation. And, you know, both her and I had received a lot of calls from the rank and file members of the police and the fire, the first responders, that, hey, we don't want to rush into this. You know, even the governor, when the commission provided their report late summer, was that he wanted to slow roll this into the spring session to better get a view of what was happening. And then all of a sudden, the word came out that, by golly, we're going to rush it through veto session, and here's the numbers that I project. And any time that you want to make your numbers look good, especially when talking about investments, you look at that riskier investment as opposed to being more cautious or conservative with your investment ideas. So there's a potential that the rank and file members just were not informed well of what was going on. And also the impact it has on our local banks, of those investments that are invested within our local banks.
Can we really say, though, that this was rushed through? I mean, this is something that, again, Mayor Pritchard, among others here, have been pushing for seemingly for a long time now.
Well, the report didn't come out until August, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see the legislation until first part of this week. Mm. So none of us knew what it was going to look like. Actually,
there was a measure that was stalled in the Senate, I think, if I remember right, that we should mention here.
Right. But, you know, this piece of legislation, when it was introduced on Tuesday, the Illinois Municipal League had taken a hard stand against it, along with the fire or the police. Mm-hmm. And the police eventually came on that the FOP, but IML stood pretty hard and fast until just hours before the vote took place that mm-hmm. There's some language in there, and there's some currents, and the IML is who represents the Illinois Municipal League, which you know, represents most of our mayors and communities here in Illinois.
And again, I guess regardless of what did or didn't happen, or where you fall on this matter, another, gosh, forgive me for taking off my unbiased hat for another second here, Dan, but gosh, that really honks me off, to be honest. The last minute push through of everything, like there's really something to hide here. And again, with a measure that's been talked about, or an idea that's been talked about for a while.
Yeah, I think this amounted to about $14 billion.
Yeah.
And a lot of the support was coming out of Chicago to get this rolled through. We need to fix
my heart. Yeah.
Right. So now we're going to put all of our money in the hands of those people in Springfield who can't even pass an Essex bill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a concern. And they're trying to make it as separated as they can from Springfield. But the governor has a part of appointing some of the people to these boards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the estimates are, I read a $120 million just in administrative fees. You know, that's how's that compare with 450 other fees? I don't know. That represents the different groups, but still, it's a lot of money.
Would it be fair to say, though, that if it were done right, you would support pension consolidating the police and fire pensions into either one big fund or into the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, which has been the, I guess, working idea here all along?
Right. Yeah. That the IMRF has been a success story, if you will, on pensions. And I think this is what they were trying to do, is make it look like that, but just kind of went about it so quickly and didn't keep their members informed. And we certainly need to look at our pensions, but this only represents about 4% of all pensions out there.
What would you tell Mayor Pritchard if he were to talk to you about this today?
Well, he and I would
look
have
back and say he's not in his office right now, if that means anything. So
we would have a good conversation, I'm sure, that, you know, these are my concerns, Mayor, that what if this does fail? What if those risky investments turn sour, turn south? The economy's great now, but as we look at the roller coaster rides over the years, and those seem to be more closely tied together than what they used to be, and as far as years between them, how do you go back to your community and say, hey, look, I've got to raise taxes because we had a failure with these investments? So
I imagine you've probably had plenty of communication through some of this process and before now with mayors and the Municipal League.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Time is short, and I would love to talk to you all day about all this stuff, but it may be some other day. But I have a couple of minutes left here, and I wanted to talk about something that I saw in the news in the last day or two that you and some other Republicans sponsored. that would help organizations like court-appointed special advocates here in Knox County. That would help maybe, sounds like, relieve some of the burden in terms of volunteer time and things like that.
Yeah, how exciting, but to reach out to our veterans to help us with the programs of spending 10 hours with some of these youth. And as I've said at my veteran speeches, they share a story, or every veteran has a story. Well, yeah. every veteran's shown that they're dedicated to their service. And what better way to give back to their community now than to be a part of the CASA program of spending 10 hours a month, and probably going to be more than 10 hours once you find out how much fun it can be.
So, oh, absolutely.
You know, looking forward to that and glad to be a part of that, that kickoff of asking our veterans to be a part of the program.
I imagine there are a lot of veterans, obviously you're one, but I imagine there are a lot of other veterans who a lot of times maybe are looking for something to do and some way to help in that regard. But, you know, like a lot of us, maybe don't know where to turn.
Exactly. And I would certainly encourage them to reach out and volunteer their time. I'm actually going to be, I think it's next week, Pam Johnson from DAR is going to be sponsoring a reading program at the library, Veterans Reading to Children. I'm going to be reading a book at that. So looking forward to that. But there's so much more we could do with within that CASA program to help the children. I mean, veterans are a good resource that we could possibly tap into.
Take some legislation with you and read some of that out loud and see. I guess you want to kind of keep the crowd, right?
Right. We want to keep the and keep sanity amongst the kids.
Sanity, good one.
Yeah.
Anything else, real quickly, that might have been of note here in the veto session? I can't imagine that it was the most productive couple of weeks you've had, but at least some things were at least discussed, some important things discussed and potentially worked on here.
Well, we didn't talk about the daylight savings time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Even within this own building, I think there are people on both sides of the issue of that. It says a guy who used to get up at 3:30 in the morning every day, you know, and go to work. Sunrise, you know, is still way too late in the morning for me.
Right. Well, you know, when you look, there's so many different, so many people reached out to me with support it and not support it. And, you know, one of the things I like to talk about is, you know, no longer do you have a 10 o'clock news. You have 11 o'clock news. Monday
right.
Night football ends at 11:30 instead of 10:30. So, yeah. But, you know, especially living this close to Iowa, where we do possibly go to a dentist or go get medical care or go visit, it's being able to keep that time straight.
On another hand, it too, it's just one of those things. It seems to me that, you know, as I used to always hear Springfield area state representative Tim Butler say, the legislature can walk and chew gum at the same time. But it really does seem to me that gosh, there are so many other things that really needed more attention than something like this.
Absolutely. And you know, it was began over in, I believe, Senator Menar sponsored the legislation. And, you know, will the House take up on it when we come back in spring session? I certainly think we have a lot more business to do between budgets and census and ethics and all those other things that we look at every year.
What does kind of things look like once you go back in January?
Well, of course, the Medicaid assessment's coming around again, which was a big topic 2 years ago. I spoke to the DHS about Cottage Hospital and how much of an effect the last Medicaid assessment did for Cottage Hospital, which was not good, and asked them to reconsider. When I look at the hospitals in my district, I have six hospitals and only one birthing center within my six hospitals. Hmm. And, I mean, things like that, the capacity of mental health beds within our local hospitals too. So, you know, a lot going on next spring, the budget, certainly hope we get involved with some more ethics discussions, but
I am flat out of time, but I can't help but ask, how's the farm going? We talked with another farmer yesterday that, gosh, between the rain in the beginning and the snow here in the last week or two, you just can't catch a break, can you?
And the propane shortage, don't forget that.
We just reported on that today. Is there anything legislatively that can be done about that? Is there any help you can provide?
Well, I've talked with Farm Bureau. I've talked with federal legislators. I understand the federal, as part of the federal, it has to be a part of this.
Sure.
The LP gas and the distribution of it, but you might have saw the governor just did an emergency proclamation to give opportunities for more transportation of LP on the road. So we can only hope that eventually This is an actual shortage and not just a way of trying to drive up prices.
Yeah, let's hope so. Otherwise, harvest maybe better than you imagined?
It's about where we thought it'd be. Yeah. Nothing great. Most of our corn was planted in June, and we're picking it now, and it's still coming in at 24, 25%, which is extremely wet this time of year. We're still trying to get some silage chopped. We got a silage bag we're trying to get filled. The machine broke down, so now we're waiting.
Oh,
and it's just been, like you said, it started at the end of last year's harvest, and it's kind of been going a year now.
It's always something, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that. Well.
Oh, I know that.
Somebody who forgot his headset that we're working off of right now.
Why'd you have to bring that up? And Dan's wearing a suit here because he was on TV today. Well, I kid about that, of course.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you giving us some time, too, today. State Representative Dan Swanson.
Thank you, Will, and to all the listeners, thank you.
By the way, I can hear everything just fine without the headphones. All right, maybe not. Stay tuned. We will leave sports to our next half hour, but we'll come back with business news. And later on at 5:40, Steve Cheeseman joins us to talk about the community Thanksgiving service in Galesburg a little more than a week away. It's all still ahead on Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. Glad you're with us on this Friday night.